Brad Cole, he's the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League and our guest this morning. Morning, Brad. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I'm well. I can't wait until we're complaining about how hot it is.
Yes, I'm ready. Can we start now? That'd be great. I'm ready because I have another one of those nights last night, no water at the house. So I'm like, well, you know how my first thought is, if this is how miserable I am, imagine those poor people in Texas.
Oh, yeah. That's why they moved to Texas.
Yeah, that's why they moved. Hey, you know, yesterday the combined speech by the governor, the State of the State address and the budget address, it was interesting. Robert and I were talking. He says, well, you know, I thought these were supposed to be two separate addresses. He says, well, you think about it, money is the state of the state in many ways. I get that. Reading some of the materials from your organization, it seems like in particular the Illinois Municipal League is taking exception to the plans for the LGDF fund.
Yeah, and, you know, the governor's in a tight spot. We get it. I understand why they did the combined speech, and it was an interesting speech and backdrop. The real detail was what was released afterwards, which was the proposed state fiscal year 2022 budget. Included in that was a reduction in local government distributive fund, what we call LGDF, which is the local share of state income taxes. We've talked about that over the past several years and how when the state imposed an income tax, they disallowed local governments from having one. So the local governments got a share of the state income tax. It was at the time 10%, so a dime on every dollar came to local governments. This year, we're at 6 cents on the dollar, and the governor's proposal is to take that down to about a nickel on a dollar. So more and more getting pushed down, more and more unfunded mandates, more and more things for local governments to do, and less dollars to do it with.
When the nose is already underwater.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, and this is not a critical statement, it's more just an awareness, that the governor made the statement during his address yesterday that we are not going to treat people who have been decimated by this pandemic as roadkill. You've played that quote on your show this
yes.
morning. The interesting thing is that municipalities have been decimated. We have lost thousands of jobs across the state, tens if not hundreds of thousands of jobs. Revenues are in the tank. The communities have just suffered from top to bottom, large to small. We are the ones that have been decimated, yet we're seeing the cut.
And here's the thing, Brad, the local governments, county governments, they've done their own fair share of cutting. They've had their own hardships to deal with, and I think have done a more responsible job than has been done on the state level, because you have to. I mean, there's nowhere down from there at that point, and that's part of the bothers me. You know, the state's going to balance the budget on every single municipality, even though they may have done a more responsible job.
Absolutely, and this is not a new tactic. It's something that we've seen over the last decade in particular, where there's more and more unfunded mandates, more things that are forced on local governments to do, yet their hands are tied. Now, interestingly, the governor did propose some loopholes to be changed.
I'm really glad you want to talk about this, because I got lost in this section. So let me frame this. There's a loss of LGDF funds, 10%, but there is a proposal that would require legislative okay to restore that money, or at least a portion of it. Is that correct?
Well, the certainty is the governor has said we're going to cut local governments 10%. The uncertainty is he's proposing to modify these corporate tax loopholes, which, if the General Assembly does that, will generate more money. The cut is $152 million. The proposed gain, if those loopholes are changed, would be $228 million. It'd be a net positive of about, you know, let's just say $75 million. It's 76 or so. Well, that's fine. The cut is a cut. The gain would offset some of that. But if we weren't cut, we'd be talking about a possibility of maybe $400 million of new revenue. I mean, that's money that is needed. So, you know, it's the cut is one thing. Whether they make the loophole changes, we don't know. The offset would be there if they do, but that would have been new revenue that we should have rightfully received. And that's where we always have this problem. It's like, well, you're not really being harmed. You're held harmless. Well, but we're not getting the new that we rightfully should have received. And just to go one step further on this, you know, those tax loopholes, I'm not going to get into it. There's a half a dozen of them, or maybe even a dozen of them. Some of them will impact businesses in the community. So are the businesses in the communities going to suffer? I don't know. But if there's a loophole that needs to be closed, it's the loophole that the state exercises, which is the unfunded mandate that is pushed down on local governments. Right. Close that loophole. Stop pushing the costs down on local governments, because there's only one taxpayer. The resident of Illinois has to pay it, whether it's at the local level or the state level.
Right, and we pay coming and going on that. It's interesting, because when I was listening to your math and some notes that I've seen from the Illinois Municipal League, you talk about this loss of $152 million, and then if the proposal to close the tax loopholes brings in $228 for the LGDF and still remains with $120 million in state surplus, which I don't know how you can have surplus when you owe as much money as we have, but this is all bookkeeping. But the thing is, many of these, including Illinois State Representative David Severn and his press release yesterday, say they talk about corporation and loopholes, but what he says really what this is a, I think, $923 million tax increase for small businesses in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, that's I saw what Representative Severn put out and others, and you know, he's looking out for his communities and his constituents and raises good points. I asked the same thing to myself of, well, why generate a surplus by cutting somebody else? Let's just zero it out. If the state came back and said, okay, we don't have to cut local governments by 10%, and we're going to end the year zero, so we won't have any plus, we won't have any minus, that would make sense to us. But instead, it's, we need a surplus at the state, so we're going to cut somebody else. I don't think that's the best way to do it. Now, I want to state for the record, I understand the governor's got a tough job trying to balance this budget, and the General Assembly's going to have to sort it all out and approve it. But, you know, this is not the time to go and cut more out of local governments when they're being asked to do more with less and less.
Yeah, and having a $120 million surplus when you owe as much money back as we do. And also, I think there's also in this budget a real concerted effort to pay back some of the money that we've borrowed, too, including, I think, some unemployment. I saw some press release from Susana Mendoza on that issue yesterday on getting some of these payments made in advance. Now, there's another thing that you and I have been talking about, and that is federal assistance. And I don't understand how this is proposed to work, whether the money goes to the local municipalities, whether this money goes to the state, because I've got from information supplied by yourself that seems to indicate an allotment for each community while at the same time calling it a state bailout.
So the current proposal that's being considered by the U.S. Congress with regard to COVID relief includes funds for state and local governments. As you know, we've talked about it dozens of times. The state of Illinois added additional restrictions and parameters and handcuffed communities and what they could spend, and took some of the money that was aimed for communities and spent it themselves through various programs. So we've been expressing concern about that practice to the Congress. And so Congress has said, well, if we're going to give money to states, we're going to give it to the states. And if we're going to give money to municipalities and counties, and we're going to give it to them directly. What we've suggested is that for large communities, they use the Community Development Block Grant Formula, CDBG, and that would be a way to distribute the funds directly to local governments. That there's no communities in your listening area that would qualify for that. And for everybody else, then let's distribute it to the state with the mandate that they cannot tinker with it, and they have to distribute it per capita to everybody. And we've provided the example of LGDF as a way to distribute the funds. So Congress is trying to figure out how to get the money unencumbered and unrestricted to local governments and then give the state their funds. What the state does with it, I don't know. I guess they'll pay back some of what they've borrowed, or I'm not entirely sure. But local governments need that money themselves, and they need it directly from the Congress. That's what's trying to get accomplished. And it's just complicated because you have 19,000 communities all across the country.
That are going what?
Yeah,
they're
not. I mean, we have 1,298 in Illinois, but there's 19,000 across these United States. So it's tough for a one size fits all program.
You know, it's interesting. I want to, because Brad touched on this a moment ago, and apparently resonated with Mark. He says, "Look, businesses don't pay taxes." See, now I know what he's getting at there, because the customer of the business pays the taxes, right? You referenced this a couple of moments ago. Mark and I stay in contact quite a bit on this subject when he says, you know, that's federal money. Well, there's no such thing. It's taxpayers' money. It's semantics, but I also think it's important. That's why I'm glad Mark calls, because you just touched on this. There's only one person that pays taxes. That's the individual.
Right. I've said this on your show countless times. Only one person that pays the bill, it's the taxpayer. And I've made the joke a few times, and some people get it and some people don't. You know, no tax dollars involved, all federal money.
Right.
It's the federal money is tax dollars.
Right. It's a different part of my dollar, right?
Right.
Which it's cut up into a pie and the slices are really thin.
Or it's your dollar and it's your kid's dollar and their kid's dollar, because we're spending dollars down the road right now that we don't really have.
Dollars of the unborn. Right? Literally. Hey, before I let you go, there's still a lot to consume here. Now, we talked about the LGDF. We talked about federal assistance, which is an important part of this. Talked about bills and surpluses. And, you know, all these things are included. What's your concern before I let you go when you look at this and you stand back as a whole? Because you've referenced this. Who wants to be in Governor Pritzker's position? Because no matter what you cut, somebody's going to squall like a smashed cat. Get that. $41.6 billion operating budget that begins July 1st. A 4.2% increase from the previous budget in the state of Illinois. There are still some unknowns, and this transferring money from other state accounts, that always makes me feel a little hinky until I know which accounts we're talking about. Is there anything else on your radar in this category that you want to draw our listeners' attention to?
Well, we've looked at, I read as much as I could out of the 500-page document, the total budget proposal. There are a number of things in there. I mean, there's some issues with transportation projects, capital projects, with mass transit funding, obviously with local government funding. There are issues that are going to affect retailers and manufacturers. There are things that the state has to do that are not addressed at all. I mean, we just came out of the lame duck legislative session where there was a massive criminal justice reform package that was adopted. The governor hasn't signed it yet, but there are going to be just untold mandates and expenses that will be related to that aren't being addressed. So there are some things in there that, you know, I think and that the Illinois Municipal League thinks are good and worthwhile. There are things we have concern about, but there are a lot of issues that are not addressed. And it's going to be difficult. I tell you what we need, and I mean this sincerely, and it may be a little bit naive, but we really need everybody to work together. We don't need the legislators or the governor or even associations like ours just pointing fingers. We have to work together to come up with some of these solutions and realize that the state is at stake. Now, we've offered to do that, and I've been talking with the governor's office for months about how we can address LGDF and local government programs and services. You know, we have to come together as a state. The elected officials, the state and local levels, are in this for the same reason, is to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of the residents of Illinois. And, you know, whether everything is in or out of the budget proposal, you know, I'm not going to speak to the detail right now, but we have to come together and work on solutions, not just point fingers. Some people are pointing fingers, but we've got to get past that. And we're going to have some tough decisions to make. And I think the people of Illinois, and your listeners in particular, would get behind that if there was a meaningful solution. But just the continuation of the same old, and a feel or a sense that nothing's being accomplished doesn't inspire anybody to have great confidence in their government. And that's what we need right now.